Satan is not omniscient. Only God is that. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you've been with us this week, we've been talking about principalities, powers, rulers of the dark, as we talk about Satan. And I suggested that you really can't talk about pain and suffering unless you bring up this subject, because Satan is alive and well, and that's the first thing we saw. And we saw what Jesus had to say about it. We looked at Job 1, 9 through 12. Then we looked at a lot of teaching from Jesus, John 8, 43 through 44, Luke 22, 31 through 32, Mark 4, 14 through 15, John 12, 30, and it just goes on and on. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you believe what Jesus said and you don't believe in Satan, you've made a horrible mistake. And I suggested that if you wanted to refer to him as metaphorical personification of evil, what I'm teaching on Key Life is still applicable, but you're simply wrong. So deal with it. Satan is alive and well. And then we saw that Satan is under God's control. I told you a story about a young man where they had an exorcist ceremony in his hospital room because this guy said that he was dying of cancer and it was a result of demons and Satan. And it was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. We shouldn't give Satan credit. Satan is God's lackey. If Satan has anything to do with your suffering and your pain, he has done only what a sovereign God has either allowed or ordained. Furthermore, any of Satan's works, no matter how horrible, can be the material with which God builds a monument of glory to himself. Now, it's important that we recognize the reality of Satan. It is even more important to realize that the Christian faith is not dualistic or dualism. That's the yin-yang thing, the two teardrops, that everything's equal, there's good and there's evil. We don't believe that. That's nonsense. We know there's a God who's in charge of this. The Bible proclaims that even Satan is a part of God's economy. Let me tell you something else. Now, this is a list of five things that you ought to know about Satan. Third, Satan is not omniscient. Only God is that. Satan is still learning. God used Job as an instructive model for Satan. Look at Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" That's almost like a teacher is talking to a student. After Satan had done some horrible things to Job, Satan went into the presence of God again. This is Job 2:3. "Have you considered my servant Job?" What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but whatever it means, the scriptures indicate that we're being viewed by supernatural beings that we might increase their knowledge and praise of God. Let me give you, and I don't know if I even understand all of this, but Ephesians 3:10, if you've got your Bible, open it to that. Paul wrote to the Ephesians that grace was given to the intent, this is a quote, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, Alfred Martin wrote that that verse gave further indication that heavenly beings are observing the church and seeing in the church what's happening with God's wisdom. Both good and evil angels are amazed at the working of God as seen in us. So, your pain and your suffering, your broken rope may have meaning far beyond the natural. It could move into the supernatural. It could be that you, like Job, are serving as a model for Satan that he might be instructed in the power and the glory of God. I've been told that my witness was important, but nobody ever told me that my witness had an impact in heavenly places. If God wants to use my broken rope, my pain, and my suffering as a model to Satan of the sufficiency of God's grace, I was going to say something really spiritual, but I'm not. No, I wouldn't like it. I don't want it to happen. I would rather it didn't happen, but I will accept it because I don't get a vote. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, Screwtape, one of the head demons, writes to his nephew, Wormwood, and he advises him and instructs him on how he should conduct his demonic business. That's a great little book. You can read it quickly, but it is profound. It's called Screwtape Letters. You can get it at a Christian bookstore. But anyway, this is what he writes. Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending to do our enemy's will, now the enemy's God, looks around upon the universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished and asks why he has been forsaken and then still obeys. Now, we've seen before that Christians are not immune to pain and suffering. I'm glad we aren't. If we were, pagans couldn't ever see the difference in us. God is interested in showing an unbelieving world the difference in the way Christians deal with suffering and hurt and fear and the way they do it. If he's interested in showing the same thing to Satan, that's okay by me. Then fourth, and we've mentioned this before, but I want to kind of emphasize it. When we were talking about that Satan is not in control, that God is in control, I mentioned this, but let me emphasize this a little bit. Not only is Satan alive and well, controlled and learning, but Satan is also, for all intents and purposes, defeated. It's over. The Bible says, having disarmed, well, listen, if you've got your Bible, turn it to Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he, that is Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Satan is dead. He just doesn't know it. So, if Satan is dead, you're probably saying, why do I still have so much trouble with him? Well, the problem is appropriation. In other words, we have not internalized that which has already been done on our behalf. Suppose I had a very rich aunt. If you're in the South, like I am, that's called aunt, who lived in another state and she died and left, left me $1 million. Suppose further that I didn't know that she had died and that I didn't know about my inheritance. Now, I might be very poor because of my ignorance about the $1 million. But in fact, I would be very rich even if I didn't know it. In order to turn my poverty into wealth, however, I would have to find out the truth, appropriate the money, that is, go to the bank and get it for myself. A lot of Christians are ignorant of the victory over Satan that was won for them on the cross. Because of that ignorance, they have never appropriated it for themselves. Have you ever visited the ghost house at Disney World or Disneyland? I know Christians aren't supposed to go to that place, and maybe you shouldn't. I'm not making a political statement here. But if you've ever been there, they put you on this moving seat, and the seat takes you to places where, if you're like me, you don't really want to go. There's one scene where you can actually see ghost figures dancing in a living room. At another place, you look in the mirror, you're passing, and you see a ghost who's been riding with you. In both of those places, your heart may skip a beat, but you know the ghost can't hurt you because this is Disney World. They're not real. They have been created by the amazing technology of the Disney people. As long as you remember that, you'll be fine. But if you somehow forget where you are, or if you should start taking seriously what you're seeing, you're going to die of a heart attack. Christian whose rope has broken, has gone through pain and suffering, and Satan's the cause of it, should remember who created Satan. Remember who's in control of this world. Remember the one to whom you belong. And if you remember that, you can say, you can scare me, but you can't destroy me. Because God rules you too, Turkey. I'll suffer, but I won't ultimately be defeated because I can't be defeated by an enemy who is himself defeated. I will cling to my knowledge of the truth until the light shines, and it will, so deal with it. Then one other thing. Let me mention this today. And we'll talk a little bit more about this whole subject week after next. This coming week, we're going to be dealing with themes that have to do with Easter. So it's a break within a break within a break for Key Life. But let me mention this, and we'll talk more about it week after next. From the book of Job, you can learn something else about Satan. He's not only alive and well, he's not only controlled, he's not only been defeated, There's something that's sometimes not recognized. Satan hovered throughout the book of Job. However, he was never mentioned, acknowledged, or referred to in the whole rest of the book. In other words, he was doing some pretty bad stuff, and nobody knew that he was the one doing them. Now, that can happen when you're dealing with pain and suffering. Oh, I don't believe we should start looking for Satan under every bed or behind or in every corner. I do believe that we ought to be aware of his presence. I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and often the elders in the church where I serve would meet with me for prayer before every service. That time of prayer was one of the very special times of my week. In fact, it's one of the things I miss about being a pastor. The elders kneel and each prays for the service and for the congregation. And almost always, one of the elders would pray, "And Father, we pray that Satan be bound, and that our church and our worship service be protected and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ." I always felt better after one of the elders prayed that way. You know why? Because Satan still does bad stuff. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you haven't written for the free booklet that we're offering on Key Life this month, love to send it to you. Reactions to Redemption, biographical sketches of the people involved in the crucifixion of Christ. It's a great devotional focus, and you would like to have it. I'd love to send it to you free. Let us know. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And don't you dare not ask for the booklet because you can't afford to give us a contribution. But if you can, and if you're called to be one of the very few people, the champions, who support this ministry and make these materials free, pray about it and be as generous as you can. I'd be so appreciative. I'd like to offer you three free sins, but I really don't have the authority to do that. But you'd be so great. You can charge it on a MasterCard card, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, The Scandal of the Cross, why the cross of Christ is the most monumental and irrational scandal in all of human history. Gotta go, but first, I need to say Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.